WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The clock ticking on a government shutdown this weekend if Congress can't reach a deal to keep it open. Senate Democrats say they are not willing to go along with a House-passed budget resolution. And, says ABC's Jay O'Brien on Capitol Hill,
we've also heard from Senate Democrats who say they don't like the way that this was carried about. It was passed almost entirely along party lines out of the House. And then Mike Johnson sent the House home for the rest of the week and essentially dared the Senate, and particularly Senate Democrats, to vote for this House Republican-led package or, in a sense, let a shutdown occur.
The Trump administration pulling the nomination of Dave Weldon to lead the CDC. Weldon had pushed conspiracy theories in the past that vaccinations are linked to autism. Special envoy Steve Witkoff in Russia for talks with Moscow on the Ukrainian ceasefire. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Canada for talks with G7 leaders on the impending trade war and other issues. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports two arrests made in conjunction with what appears to be an intentional damage to property incident in the rural Chaseburg-Stoddard area. On Tuesday afternoon at approximately 3:15, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified that two people were actively destroying property at the St. Peter's Lutheran Church on County Road K in the town of Hamburg. Once confronted by the witness who called the Sheriff's Office, both individuals fled the area in a vehicle. The witness provided the 911 dispatcher with a description of the vehicle, and that information was relayed to the responding officers. At approximately 4:20, a state trooper saw a vehicle consistent with the description given by the witness on County Road KO near the intersection of Lewandowski Lane, about 9 miles from the crime scene. However, there were no license plates on the vehicle that the trooper located. The trooper stopped the vehicle and the investigation continued. One individual was identified as Emmett Price Rathert, 22, of La Crosse. The other occupant identified herself as Kyatt Lynn O, 22, of St. Paul, Minnesota, but her identity is still being confirmed. Both were taken into custody and transported to the Sheriff's Office Detention Center. Through further investigation, it was determined that the Wisconsin license plates had been removed shortly after the vehicle fled the scene. If you have information on the current location of the license plates, Wisconsin ACT 7066, please call the Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123. The monthly board meeting of the Family Thrift Shop will be held at the Park Street Christian Church Thursday at 1. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Packer players moving on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL Free Agency. Two Packer players have signed with other teams. Center Josh Myers, a one-year contract with the Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon joins the Eagles, also a one-year deal. Men's college basketball, the Badgers taking on Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament. Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tourney. In Madison, Sarah Williams says she's entering a transfer portal after 3 years on the Wisconsin women's basketball team. NBA Bucks basketball tonight. They host the LA Lakers. And Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about former Bucks player and business mentor Junior Bridgman, who died on Tuesday.
Yeah, this one really hit hard for me. They always tell us stories about how 75% of athletes 0 to 5 years after they're done playing go broke. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I've patterned my whole business acumen after Junior Bridgman. This one hurts a lot.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Very spring-like and sunny today with warm temperatures rising to the mid-60s. We'll become partly cloudy tonight with a chance of some storms early in the morning. During the day, it'll be windy and warm with highs climbing to the mid-70s. Then, strong to severe thunderstorms roll in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll discuss the Supreme Court debate and also a blood moon rising. We'll give you the details. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number for both, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up in just a little bit, Brittany Merlot will be here, as she always is, for what we call Weather and Wine. She's our civic media meteorologist. I just stepped outside. It's really nice out.
Not for long.
Well, enjoy it today.
I feel like we should call it Weather and Wine when it's nice weather. That's what we deserve.
That's what we deserve.
Yeah, when it's nice.
We have we do have a whole bunch of weather. It's a veritable potpourri of weather coming our way in Wisconsin over the next couple of days. So Brittany Merlot will be here to break that down for us at 11:33. J.R. Ratcliffe, sports guru from the Journal Sentinel, will be joining us, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Keep It Snappy edition. Join us for that as well. Wanted to remind folks, if you're considering a career change.
And I am.
If you better not. If you have a person in your household who thought, you know, I would like to, I've always wanted to get into radio.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's somewhere where I could do that.
Yeah.
There is somewhere you can do that.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Go to civicmedia.us/careers. We are expanding. We have 20 stations across the state. We are looking for news reporters. We are looking for producers. We are looking for sales reps. All kinds of positions are open. So if you're thinking about it, maybe even just in the back of your mind, you're a little curious, take a look. Go to civicmedia.us/careers and come and join us.
Yes, please.
At Civic Media. We did want to spend a little time on this because this is a big issue for a lot of folks. Social Security is an important thing. And we had brought this up a couple of weeks ago when it was reported in the Wausau Daily Herald that the DOGE website, of course, which is supposed to list all of the great savings that Elon and his lackeys have found, they listed a Social Security office in Wausau that they were going to shut it down as part of their big cost-saving measures. We have been accused of fear-mongering, Greg Bach, when we talk about these things.
Ooh.
We're actually just reporting things that appear in publications.
Yeah.
But, okay. Here is something that just happened. This is from the Washington Post. Social Security scraps far-reaching cuts to phone services after a Washington Post report. So this is what they were going to do, the Trump administration and Elon Musk. Late yesterday, the Social Security administration dumped plans. They were going to end phone service for millions of Americans who file for retirement and disability. because they wanted to cut this off to root out alleged fraud. So what they wanted to do, you would no longer be able to call a Social Security office.
Yeah.
If you had questions, if you wanted to apply, if you had anything, no more phone calls. Mm-hmm. Now you would have to rely on the internet and in-person offices in order to process your claims. Of course, that's going to be problematic if you're in one of these communities where they want to shut that office for cost savings.
Yeah.
That could make it a little sticky. There was so much pushback on this, they've now backed off, but only because I'm assuming other fear-mongering outlets like us shared their plans.
Well, and that seems to be the way. I mean, like, I'm looking at this right now. I'm looking at the Doge.gov website, and all it is tweets. It's, if you scroll down, it's just tweets. It's all it is. It's not like, here are, like before they were showing the receipts, which were being taken down at a phenomenal
because
level.
Because making so many mistakes.
Yep, they were making, like, they didn't know how to spell millions. Millions doesn't start with a B, it starts with an M, like as in millions. But the things they're just putting, and everything they're putting on here is just to rile up their base. The USDA, at USDA was funding a $397,000 grant in San Francisco Bay, excuse me, to educate queer, trans, and BIPOC urban farmers and consumers about, you gotta click. See, that thing is, you gotta click.
To find out more.
Yeah. About food justice and values-aligned markets. That's not a bad thing. Food justice, food deserts, making sure that people have access to growing, access to supplies. That is not, they make it seem like it's a horrible thing, and they're cutting these programs. And they're putting these ones up on the front now because they're the ones that will rile that base up. The receipts before, they took down because it just, it's too.
Well, it was so inaccurate.
It's so, and so dry. This is now, you basically have your own little like Doge tweet central. And it's just, I don't like it.
Well, again, they backed off on this plan. They were going to make sure that people could not call Social Security anymore, which a lot of elderly Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are not necessarily internet savvy.
Oh, yeah.
Who rely on making phone calls to process claims and things like that. They were going to cut that out and make people elderly and disabled either rely on the internet or go in person, which is so easy for everybody, and it's not, to process their claims. But again, the pushback was so great from this portion of it now, they have backed off. However, customers will no longer be able to change a direct deposit routing number or other bank information by phone. They say that is where all the fraud is. And again, I'm not against finding waste and fraud and abuse. I'm really not.
I just
want to know the specifics of where you found it.
Mm-hmm. And I want someone to be held accountable then too, because if it's fraud, if it's wasteful spending, cut it if it makes sense. If it's fraud,
that's a crime.
Please bring someone to court and say this person
did X.
But what I'm hearing when you're saying this is you have someone who's not computer savvy calling, I need to change my routing number. It's fraud if you're doing it in a fraudulent way. If that's something that happens on a regular basis and a number is taken down incorrectly, that's not fraud. That's called a mistake.
It's an error.
You rectify the mistake when you don't get your check. But I wouldn't refer to this as like the main well of fraud.
According to the Trump administration, approximately 40% of Social Security direct deposit fraud happens when someone calls the agency to change their direct deposit bank information. So that's going to stop at the end of this month, according to Doge. The statement did not say how much fraud is believed to happen through this channel. All it says is all other Social Security Administration telephone services remain unchanged.
Jane, what is the E in DOGE stand for in this situation?
I believe it's efficiency.
Does this sound like a really efficient use of time, energy, manpower, all those things? And then is it sound like it's efficient for the people who have to make these phone calls?
No.
Yeah. So.
No. In recent days, this article from the Washington Post, Musk's team at Social Security has led to a fast downsizing of staffers and services. They had considered these telephone service changes to claims processing until, again, all of this pushback happened. That's why it's important that we stay up on this stuff. And I know it's exhausting, and I know sometimes it's dry, and I know sometimes you're like, well, that doesn't affect me. Ultimately, it will.
It does. Anybody who's listening to this, anybody who has a job, who's of any age, they're paying into Social Security, this affects you, because this is what we're talking about now. Meanwhile, in the Congress, they're working to gut Social Security. They're working to gut Medicare and Medicaid. They're making it so that they won't even need these phone lines anymore, because there'll be no more money to give away to begin with. And me, 47 years old, I won't even bother when I hit the age I get to collect on, because it'll be done. It'll be a thing of the past. And people who rely on it right now will be, I don't know what will happen to them. Will they just get to get the rest of their money and they'll be done? I mean, this is just such... I cannot believe that people who voted for Donald Trump wanted this to happen. I don't think they wanted this. Regular folks.
I agree.
I'm talking about regular. Like,
no, I agree.
Working class, blue collar people. They didn't want to see their Social Security get messed with. But here we are. Here we are. Chainsaw in hand. And this year is going to hurt people.
Well, good heavens. I mean, Elon said it. There's going to be 2 years of pain. And that seems to be the new mantra now. I have seen some Trump officials on various outlets talking about, yep, it's going to be bad for a couple of years. But ultimately, down the road, it's going to be great.
When they're all out of office.
That's the new sell.
Yeah.
That's the new selling position. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for the service that you provide, because people need to know this information, because it's fact. And they've spread so many lies and misinformation that poor people, they need to hear this information, because this is going to affect the whole economy. They stopped this, and it isn't an entitlement. It is an insurance policy that people have paid in for years and years. So people need to know and understand this. And I hate to say it, because I've been an independent and I've voted for people in the past, but not anymore.
Yeah.
Because as I look at history, the same things kind of happened under the Bush. Not like this, but, you know, people's claims weren't being processed. They had less feedback time. And then when Obama got in, boy, they had callback numbers. You know, you didn't have to wait for 2-3 hours on the line. And Obama had it where you could press this thing and they'd call you right back, you know, when it was your time and you didn't have to sit on the phone. I mean, there's just such a difference in the way Democrats handle people and the way Republicans abuse people. So thank you very much, guys, and keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you so much, Gene. Really appreciate it. All right, Brittany Merlot, we're going to talk weather and start lightening things up a little bit when we return. Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. Do we need shovels? Do we need sunglasses? What do we need over the next couple of days?
I think we need a prayer card or something. A
little bit of everything. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted, unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cali Teeny on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right after the noon news, Todd Alba takes over from noon to 2 p.m. Today, Todd will chat with Chef Dan Jacobs. He's working with Main Street Alliance. We've talked to them a number of times.
That's great.
About they are having a day of action next week, and they're going to talk about what the next Wisconsin budget could include to support Main Streets around Wisconsin. Main Streets and small businesses are critically important.
Politicians like to call us the backbone of communities. So let's
and the backbone of the economy.
Yeah.
So join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. It should be a great discussion. And then they always do their own lightening up of things with what's worse. It's a lot of fun. So join Todd today from noon to 2. Sheen joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. You're a meteorologist. This stuff is good for you. I know changing weather is exciting.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It keeps me on my toes.
I know, right?
Especially with this one.
Working in Hawaii would be so boring. You'd have nothing to talk about. That is not the case here in Wisconsin. We have nothing but nonstop. It feels like whiplash weather.
Yep. Tis the season for it. Oh, my goodness. We've got everything going on. Everything you could think of is probably headed our way. So
a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I want no complaining. No, I'm just kidding. You can complain about this one. This one's pretty bad. So here's what we've got going on. Nice, comfortable today, right?
Gorgeous, it's beautiful.
Sunny.
Yep.
Oh, can't complain. Oh, love it. Okay. But tomorrow, things are going to be changing. It's going to get windy. We're going to see gusts up to about 30 miles per hour. We could also have some small storms in the morning. So don't be shocked if you hear some claps of thunder early. Those aren't the bad ones. That is moving in along that warm front. We are going to have those winds whipping us to temperatures in the low to mid 70s, which
crazy.
Is yes,
crazy.
Outrageous. I know. So a gorgeous, warm day, but we're not looking at much sunshine. It's also going to get a little humid and muggy. Nothing oppressive, but you're going to notice a difference, right?
Okay.
And those things are all acting as fuel for severe thunderstorms. And it's the classic setup. And we get these crazy warm temperatures spiking up, and then a cold front slams into that. That's what we're going to see tomorrow night. So a strong line of storms wants to push into south and western areas around 9 o'clock, quickly moves over to the Madison area around 10 and in towards Milwaukee around 11. And we're looking at a slight risk for those areas, all the way from La Crosse to the Dells to Milwaukee. And what a slight risk means is scattered, severe, or isolated and intense strong storms. So that means it's going to be worse down into Illinois. It's going to start to weaken as it pushes into Wisconsin. And yes, we could still get a couple leftover tornado warnings are possible.
Wow.
And then also some damaging wind gusts approaching 70 miles per hour are possible, and some hail. So this is definitely the stronger of it is going to be into our southwestern parts of the state. And then, of course, it is going to lift north. Everyone's going to get storms tomorrow night. But far into the Northwoods, it'll just be some more thunder, heavy rain, and hail.
Well, certainly people want to stay up on those, on the potential for any tornadoes. That's really frightening. But so are 70-mile-an-hour winds. That's not good.
Nope. Both do some pretty bad damage. And people are like, well, it's winter. Ah. It is. And we had a tornado in February last year, if you remember. So that was the first time we ever had a February tornado. So middle of March isn't too crazy, I guess, these days.
I think the only thing that's consistent about Wisconsin weather is its inconsistency. No matter what, throw a dart on any month in the year, and you can say, "Oh, well, it's December, so there's gonna be snow." Probably not at all.
I was trying to forecast for the draft in Green Bay, and I'm like, "Okay, I know what the average is, but let's be real. April in Wisconsin, anything can happen."
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's important what you just said with the time that we have left, Brittany. I want to talk about the cuts that the Trump administration is making at the at NOAA and the National Weather Service. And I just read something that they're stopping training now for a meteorologist. In the past, they have sent meteorologists to areas that are dealing with wildfires and floods and things like that. And those people actually report to, like, local television stations and help them coordinate the information that's going out to the public. Now, those positions have been eliminated. They've cut that program. What does that mean?
I mean, loss of communication from, you know, where it's coming from to the TV out to us as residents. We're in more risks from all of this. I mean, if we're taking away our younger population of scientists trying to learn, they're not going to learn. And we're going to be stuck with retiring people, aged people. Like, what? Where's the future? And the weather's only getting worse. So with those people missing, there's just major problems ahead. And plus the forecasters, you think about a severe weather outbreak that's about to happen right now into Illinois and portions here. There are less people working there. This means delayed warnings going out. This is all going to affect us. It's scary stuff.
And as a meteorologist, you can't do forecasts if you don't have the data that is collected by these agencies, correct?
Correct. I mean, model forecasters that put in all the data to put out what I'm looking at to tell you the forecast right now is going to get worse and worse. So even my forecasts, you know, if I don't have the data, what am I going to give you?
I guess I'll put the question out to the people who think that all this is great as far as who they voted for. Tell me why this is good. Tell me why less information, less communication, especially in this kind of situation, why that's better for us as a people. I'd love to hear from you.
Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time. Hang on to your hats this weekend, and please stay up on the forecast. Yeah. We don't want anybody to get hurt. We want everybody to have a good weekend, and we will see you again next week. Brittany, words are hard.
It's okay.
Thanks. We have news coming up next when we return. We're going to talk all things sports with the Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, We Go Global. Take us on the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
Yes, it is. Oh, the answer.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. University of Wisconsin-Madison, Division of Extension Women in Ag Programming, will host I'm a Farmer Too. Women are a key aspect of the agriculture industry and are responsible for many facets of the farm. This program is geared toward women and the many hats they wear in the agricultural industry. Topics for the day center around exploring diversified revenue streams, such as agritourism and locally grown product marketing. The event will be hosted Thursday, March 20th at the Iowa County Fairgrounds in Mineral Point. RSVP by Thursday, March 13th by calling the Lafayette County UW Extension Office at 608-776-4820. The cost of the program is $25 and covers materials, lunch, and craft supplies. Checks can be made payable to UW Extension. RSVP and registration fee is required a week before the program date. The Community Players presentation of Escanaba in the Moonlight hits the stage this weekend at the Richland Center City Auditorium. This play brings the quirky world of Michigan's Upper Peninsula to the stage. The story is told by the family patriarch, Albert Sody. It's the night before deer season, and he and his sons gather to do the things they and thousands of other hunters do every year before the hunt. Drink beer, eat their favorite foods, play euchre, and brag about who shot the biggest buck last year. But son Reuben has a problem. He's never bagged a buck, and if he doesn't this year, he'll go down in camp history as the oldest Sody to never get one. Performances of Escanaba in the Moonlight will be held Friday and Saturday night at 7 and Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets priced at $10 will be sold at the door. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Very spring-like and sunny today with warm temperatures rising to the mid-60s. We'll become partly cloudy tonight with a chance of some storms early in the morning. During the day, it'll be windy and warm with highs climbing to the mid-70s. Then, strong to severe thunderstorms roll in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 45.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show as we always do with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Let's Get Snappy edition. If you ever think you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. We have some basketball action this afternoon, J.R.
We do. I love March. March is the best. It's not just basketball. It's the sort of the NFL free agency is going on. That's kind of a cool thing leading into the draft. Baseball is wrapping up. We're getting to the real stuff here toward the end of the month. We'll actually have games in March. So this is the time of the year for gurus, for Journal Sentinel sports gurus like myself.
Absolutely. And, happy times.
It is a happy time. The basketball gets going in earnest, really, for Wisconsin and Marquette, both of whom play this afternoon, early afternoon games in the conference tournaments. Wisconsin will play Northwestern, getting going very soon here in the Big Ten tournament. They kind of need the win to keep their hopes alive of hosting games in Milwaukee. Hosting is the wrong terminology, but to be assigned a first round venue, Milwaukee, they really need to be a solid top three seed in the tournament. They had a late regular season loss to Penn State. That's just really bad. I mean, Penn State wasn't playing for anything. It was in the Kohl Center, just a really rough loss. And I really feel like right now that is the difference between them playing in Milwaukee or getting sent to like Denver or Seattle. So they really, really need to win this game. Probably could stand. I mean, obviously they could stand to win a whole bunch of these games. They're still going to the NCAA tournament. They're safely in. There's no concern there in some regards that makes this tournament just a tune up for the big one. But oh man, they could really, really use that victory. And it's been tough for both teams. Both men's basketball teams have really been in late season swoons. Marquette as well. Like if Marquette could win the Big East tournament and that would help their cause to some degree, but really they're down now to like a 6-7, maybe even an 8 seed. And if they're an 8 seed, they would play one of the four best teams in the tournament in the second round. That would be a really tough, tough road to hoe for them. So it has not been a great second half of the season by any stretch for Marquette. They could stand to show well also. But again, they are also safely in the tournament. There's no concern there. So these tournaments are fun, but really the big stuff begins with Selection Sunday, followed by the tournament next week.
Just in case you wanted to catch today's game, by the way, JR, Wisconsin at Northwestern broadcast starts today at 12:30. You can listen on Civic Media stations WLAK in Amory, at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and also on WRCE in Richland Center. Again, Wisconsin at Northwestern today. Our coverage starts today at 12:30 on those stations. So on to from basketball. I just like, because we share notes in the morning about what we're going to talk about. I love the Bucks are bad.
but last week, JR, Bucks good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an up and down. It's a journey for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It is.
They have lost three consecutive games. They play the Lakers tonight. LeBron James will be unavailable. He's injured. Luka Doncic is a little banged up. Good game coming up for the Bucks because this is part of a really tough schedule. They got 18 games left in this season. I think it's kind of asking a lot for them to finish 500 in those games. You know, 9-9 would be, I think, pretty solid given how tough the schedule is. They just haven't shown well against really elite competition. The Lakers are pretty good. Oklahoma City will be facing off the Bucks in the not too distant future. That's going to be a very difficult test. And then they've had these recent losses to teams that aren't elite, but are kind of in their bracket. You know, Indiana, they lost the other night on basically a buzzer beater. It was not quite a buzzer beater, but with 3 seconds to go, a three-pointer by Tyrese Halliburton, Oshkosh's own, really burned the Bucks with a foul. They made the free throw, and the Bucks lost by one. They lost to Orlando before that. They lost to Cleveland in pretty convincing fashion in between those two games, and Cleveland is one of the elite teams right now. So the Bucks just are missing something. Like they do have stretches where they win games. They're a playoff team. They're a sound playoff team, but there is such a big chasm between where they are and the very best teams in the West too, but primarily, but the East, it's the Knicks, it's the Cavaliers, and it's the Celtics. They haven't beaten those teams not one time this year. So they absolutely need to figure out a way to level up. I mean, they've got two of the best players in basketball. They just don't have it when it comes to winning against really tough competition. There's a 5-game West Coast road trip coming up that's really going to test them. You know, like I said, most of these 18 games left are primarily against pretty good teams. And they'll win some of those. But really, like, if you wanted to say, what are the Bucks' best wins this year? I think you could distill it down to, like, two games. They beat Denver at home, which was really nice. They beat Oklahoma City in the NBA Cup final, which was their most impressive performance by far. That game doesn't even count in the standings. And it was a long time ago. They have to show that they're that team, because that team can win the NBA championship. The team we have seen since then just is simply not that good.
Calvin, you were upset with a particular call. You want to chime in on this?
Well, going back to the end of the Indiana game, credits Tyrese Halliburton. Incredible shot. Fantastic shot. But I don't know in what world Giannis fouled him. He looked to be straight up. I didn't see any contact in the lower body.
Just a bad call?
I think it was a bad call.
It was a miserable call, for sure. I agree with you, Calvin. I would say this, though. The shot goes in, so it's tied. I mean, Bucks are probably going to overtime. Maybe they lose in overtime. Like it wasn't like that call took a loss, took a win from them. But yes, it made it much easier for the Pacers to finish that off. It was not a good call, but it's the risk you run. They gave up too good of a look, I think, with 3 seconds left off of an inbound. And Halliburton has been kind of this agent of chaos. He likes to mimic Dame's, Dame time celebration. There've been some tete-a-tetes, I guess, with the Bucks and Tyrese Halliburton. So
there's been a dance.
There has been a bit of a dance, if you will. And I think we're kind of headed down a path where he's like kind of one of the arch nemeses of the Milwaukee Bucks going forward.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is here. He joins us every other Thursday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. You mentioned the Packers free agency briefly. What exciting, scintillating things came out of that, or not so much?
It was not scintillating. It was not scintillating. It was fine. I mean, I think I've even said on this program, I thought the Packers would be maybe more involved on some of the bigger names. I thought they were equipped to do that. They brought in a guard, offensive lineman named Aaron Banks. He's fine. A cornerback named Nate Hobbs from the Raiders, who's intriguing. I think there's some upside there, but these are not even like top 50 guys on the free agent market. At the same time, they lost some players. Nobody, I think, is going to be upset that they lost truly key contributors last year. Like Josh Myers, their center, was probably the biggest name who went elsewhere, but there's definitely a sentiment that they could be better without him. Maybe Aaron Banks comes in, Elton Jenkins moves to center. Now we're talking about a much, much improved line from what they were last year. So that's not a huge loss. Eric Stokes just never really developed. He was a first-round draft pick. It was a speed guy who maybe just didn't quite have the skills, and then injuries took away the gifts he did have. So that was unfortunate, his career arc, but his departure is not going to be felt too dramatically by the Packers. A.J. Dillon, fan favorite, is now a Philadelphia Eagle. So that's maybe a tough one for fans, but he did not play last year. He was injured and quite honestly was kind of, the writing was very much on the wall that he was on his way out anyway. So we're not, you're not talking about a loss there in terms of on the field stuff. So the free agency is not over per se. They could still add some guys, but again, we're not talking about big names. There's a possibility of a trade. There's a possibility that they, still do something dramatic before the draft, but probably not. This is probably the team that they're going to run with, and then they'll hope to supplement some stuff in the draft.
Calvin, you want to chime in on this?
Well, speaking about A.J. Dillon's fan favoriteness and the way the Wisconsin election turned out, maybe this increased his fan favoriteness in many people's eyes, but I saw it as a fall from grace when he attended the Donald Trump's Green Bay rally and appeared to fully endorse and support the current president's bid for the presidency.
That may have, I don't want to cast aspersions anywhere across the world, but like Green Bay Packers fans are kind of a lot of in that boat. So like, I don't know if that really impacted his fandom. I think, when it comes to sports fans, like,
aren't we fickle?
Are we fickle? Oh God. Yes, of course. Of course we're fickle. Like, on-field performance trumps everything. It trumps the wrong, maybe the which was the word there. But like when it comes to like political affiliation or anything, like ultimately, if you succeed on the field, that's going to supersede everything in the minds of sports fans. I think AJ Dillon, he got hurt. He just wasn't that effective. He wasn't as good as I think his skill set suggested he should be. And not that that made people sour on him. He still had his fans. He's a Door County superhero, but I think people just kind of let him go. You know, they kind of maybe moved on from him.
They should have made AJ healthy again.
Yes, make AJ. Yes. Maja, do we get the J in there as well? Mahaja? I'm not sure how we work with that. We can figure it out.
We'll wrap it up with a little bit of Brewers. What is happening with the crew? Obviously, preseason is underway.
Yeah, we're a couple weeks away from.
I've never heard sport. I've never heard baseball called preseason.
Well, they're not in the regular season yet.
No, no, I'm not making fun. I've never heard someone refer to baseball as preseason. It's fine. It was a new way of taking it in.
MLB's got, you know, like it's MLB, not the MLB, although there's a pushback to that. A lot of people are calling it the MLB lately. It's a clubhouse. It's not a locker room. You wear, is there something else? It's a manager. It's not a head coach. You know, like we've got, baseball's got some particularities.
It sounds like what wrestling is like. We're not wrestlers. We're superstars. Calm down, The Rock.
Yeah. So we're two weeks away. Spring training's almost over. 2 weeks. March 31st is the start of the season. So that's actually the start of the home opener. They'll have a series in New York before that. I think things are pretty much on track. My favorite thing to watch is a relief pitcher named Craig Yoho, Y-O-H-O. People are going to love him.
Now, really?
He's not going to make the team because they already have so many relievers and they don't want to. It's just a roster crunch, essentially. But make no mistake, he is one of their best relievers. He is sensational. He's a guy that they got out of Indiana. He had arm trouble. They paid him next to nothing when they drafted him in 2023. He has been dominating the minor leagues. He's totally out of the blue, basically. It's a long story, but basically they signed him to save money elsewhere in the draft. And he has not only saved them money elsewhere in the draft, he himself is fantastic. I wanted them to bring him up last year. They didn't do it. You will see him this year. It's not going to be right away, but I think this is going to help Brewers fans move on from Devin Williams very, very quickly. I don't know if he's going to be their closer right away, but he is just that good. And they have a few young players that are worth watching, but that guy I think is going to make a major impact this year. And you'll remember him because his name is Yoho.
Well, I was going to say, I hope he does well because those are just memes waiting to happen.
Yeah.
The play on Yoho is, I mean, the possibilities are endless.
He can only come up to pirate music. That's it.
We have to work on that. He throws a very good changeup. They're calling it the yo-yo pitch right now. So we are, this is going to be a big moment. And you know, nice thing, Rhys Hoskins, he's doing pretty well in spring training. He's hit five home runs. I think it's five, maybe it's only four, but he's really pounding the ball. He hit home runs last year, but was ultimately not that good. Like it was a really rough signing, but let's imagine him being fully healthy coming in this year, being a little bit better. That would be a massive upgrade for the Brewers. If the guy who the incumbent at first base turns out to be a more complete offensive player this year, there's some nice signs there. Greg, I'm starting to feel slightly positive thoughts. We're leaning a little bit more into it.
Are you feeling hope? I shall extinguish that.
Not hope. Let's not get crazy. Yeah. He's not hopeful.
Hope makes Brewers fans very uncomfortable.
It's not that to that degree. It's just, you know, like things are going okay. There's really no, I mean, there have been some injuries, but nothing earth shattering. Brandon Woodruff is on track. You know, the guys that you want to see perform are performing. You know, Jackson Chourio is hitting the ball really well. Rhys is hitting the ball really well. It's not hope, but it's not pessimism either.
I love that. I just, that should be a shirt. It's not hope, but it's not pessimism either. J.R. Radcliffe, you can read all his wonderful stuff in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much, J.R. Appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple.
All right. See you in a couple weeks.
Stay close. We're going to wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Keep It Snappy edition that's on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
News from the center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach. Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Wanted to share this with you. Breaking news just as we're coming back on the air. A federal judge ordering the Trump administration to offer reinstatement to thousands of fired probationary employees at the Department of Defense, Treasury, Agriculture, Energy, Interior, and Veterans Affairs. The judge said that the mass firings are a sham strategy by the government's office to try and sidestep legal requirements for reducing the federal workforce. We'll see what happens with this. I don't know. Call me crazy. It doesn't seem efficient to come in with a chainsaw to an agency and fire a whole bunch of people only to be ordered by a court to bring them all back because you can't do that that way.
Yeah. I mean, some would say it's a brainless thing to do. And
a waste of time, a waste of money.
Let's just see how the supporters justify this one. Oh, the courts are left-leaning.
But again, this breaking just as we're coming back on the air. Tens of thousands of fired federal workers must be reinstated immediately. Judge, U.S. District Judge William Alsup described the mass firings as a sham strategy by the Trump administration to get around legal requirements in order to legally shrink the federal government. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Should you have a thing you think should not be, email it to Greg and me, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. No byline. That's unfortunate. Headline reads, man found with live turtle concealed in his pants by TSA. At New Jersey Airport, a Pennsylvania man going through security was found to have a live turtle in his pants. It was found Friday after a body scanner alarm went off at Newark Liberty International Airport. A TSA officer then got the lucky duty of patting down the man and determined, I think there's something in that area of your pants. When questioned further, the man reached into his pants and pulled out a turtle about 5 inches long, wrapped in a blue towel. He said this was a red ear slider turtle, which is apparently a popular pet. The man was escorted from the checkpoint by Port Authority police and then ended up missing his flight. Oh, well, the turtle was confiscated. It's unclear at this point if the turtle was the man's pet or why he had it in his pants.
Excuse me, I don't mean to be forward, but is there a turtle in your pants? You just happen to see me.
This a quote from Thomas Carter, who is the Federal Security Director for New Jersey for the TSA. We have seen travelers try to conceal knives and other weapons on their person, in their shoes, and in their luggage. However, I believe this is the first time we have come across someone concealing a live animal down the front of his pants. As best as we could tell, the turtle was not harmed by the man's actions.
Oh, it was harmed up here in its brain.
Psychologically, yeah. That turtle is never going to be the same.
No.
He said the incident remains under investigation. It's unclear if the man will face any charges or penalties. My favorite part of this entire story, the turtle confiscated. Not clear if the turtle was the man's pet or why he had it in his pants.
What I really enjoy about that story is he told them what kind of turtle it was.
Yes.
As if TSA were going to be like, oh, well then go on through. Sir, you've been upgraded and your turtle has its own seat now.
It's a red ear slider turtle?
Why didn't you say so?
Move up into first class.
You both have TSA pre-check, of course.
He gets a free seat.
There you go.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Tomorrow is Friday.
It is.
Dan Schaefer will be here. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. He is also Civic Media's political editor.
Yeah.
Highly encourage you to join us in hour number two when Dan Schaefer is here. I am working on a blog post that hopefully will be posted sometime next week. We do talk about this. We know things are serious.
Yes.
We know people are concerned. We are too.
Yes.
And that's why, personally, I think it is really important to find whatever small speck of good every day.
I agree.
If we can.
There's nothing wrong with that. And more importantly, as you say, Jane, what do you say?
Well, I'll get there.
Okay.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. I do not say that lightly. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Producer Jess P.S. here. Next time, Dom's back with Earl Ingram as co-host to discuss the ever-expanding campaign for Supreme Court of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff in Russia today for meetings, trying to get President Vladimir Putin on board for the U.S. proposal of a 30-day ceasefire with Ukraine. Ukraine has already agreed. ABC's Karen Travers says Russia has some questions.
We are now waiting word from Russia about their response to the ceasefire that the United States and Ukraine had worked out earlier this week. I had asked President Trump 2 days ago if he thought he had to speak to Vladimir Putin in order to get Russia on board with this, and he indicated he thought that that would likely have to happen, but he has not spoken to him as far as White House officials have said.
The Trump administration announcing they've withdrawn their nomination for CDC director, former Florida Congressman David Weldon, just hours before he was set to appear for a confirmation hearing. President Trump now threatening to put 200% tariffs on alcohol, including champagne, against the European Union in response to their proposed tariffs against U.S. whiskey. The market's reacting. The Dow down nearly 500 points. This is ABC News.